Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 447, a stanza 1. My soul was glad when unto me they said, come, we will now repair unto Jehovah's house of prayer. And what follows, Psalter 447, stanza 1. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Peter 1. And afterward from the confession of faith, article number 8. 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, a grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, and not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you was holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. As seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, as see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. From the Confession of Faith, as you can find it on page 8 in the back of the Psalter, article number 8. God is one in essence, yet distinguished in three persons. According to this truth and this word of God, we believe in one only God, who is one single essence, in which there are three persons, really, truly, and eternally distinct, according to their incommunicable properties, namely, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The Father is the cause, origin, and beginning of all things, visible and invisible. The Son is the Word, wisdom, and image of the Father. The Holy Ghost is the eternal power and might proceeding from the Father and the Son. And nevertheless, God is not by this distinction divided into three, as since the Holy Scriptures teach us that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost have each his personality, distinguished by their properties, but in such wise that these three persons are but one only God. Hence then, it is evident that the Father is not the Son, and nor the Son the Father, and likewise the Holy Ghost is neither the Father nor the Son. And nevertheless, these persons thus distinguished are not divided nor intermixed. For the Father hath not assumed the flesh, and nor hath the Holy Ghost, but the Son only. The Father hath never been without a Son, and nor without his Holy Ghost. For they are all three co-eternal and co-essential. There is neither first nor last, for they are all three one in truth, in power, in goodness, and in mercy. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. Sam Van Wieringen, who was admitted to the Lethbridge Hospital in the day of yesterday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then we have heard, according to thy holy word, whom we draw nigh unto thee. One God, three in persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thou who art clothed with honor and with majesty, thou art great, it is written in thy word, cannot be comprehended, cannot be understood, but thou must be believed in and worshipped, our Lord. Then when we draw nigh unto thee, then it is so fitting to ask that thou may clothe us with profound reverence and deep humility, an impression of thy greatness and an impression of our littleness, of our sinnership and our unworthiness. And Lord, that is the work of thy Spirit. And to that end, in this hour, then we humbly ask thee for the work of thy Spirit, his operations in the heart of sinners, by the first time and by renewal. It is a week of preparation. Then we are called upon to examine our heart, our lives, our exercises, our appetites, and our strife. Lord, for those that are still unconverted, that are seeking all their happiness here below, hoping to find their full satisfaction, shall never be with the trials, with the disappointments. Ah, Lord, work by thy Spirit. May the light shine in the darkness. May they be given to see their great danger under thy wrath, under the curse, traveling to eternal destruction, that thou may become real, and that also their sins may become a burden, an unbearable burden, our Lord. When that taketh place, then they shall begin to cry after and for thee. Then they shall become seekers. Work it in the hearts of young and old. And then in a week of preparation, then for thy true children, call to examine whether they have received a wedding garment merited by thy dear Son, and also to consider, to examine their exercises concerning that garment. Ah, Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that has many questions, so many riddles, perplexities. Many times they cannot declare themselves. but they have received a heart full of love for Thee, have experienced that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, a heart that goes out after Thee, a heart that needs to be washed in the precious blood of Thy dear Son. Lord, for those souls that are standing afar off, may it please Thee to bring them nigh through the blood. Ah, Lord, for Thy children, Thou hast a people upon the earth that learn how dependent they are upon Thee, and what a privilege, all what is necessary. Let there be no rest outside of a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, because then only can Thy children do it in remembrance of Him. And then it is so necessary and profitable to receive deep and fresh discoveries of the work of a triune God, the more that Thy people may know Thee, the better they can serve Thee. Grant unto them those fervent, those genuine, those sincere, those needy prayers as evidence of the intercession of Thy Spirit in their heart, prayers conformable to Thy will, exercised with Thy kingdom and the glory of Thy name, but also exercised with the honor and the holiness of Thy table. Oh, Thou hast a people in a week of preparation under all the different circumstances. Drive away all that lukewarmness, that Thy dear Son becomes ever more necessary and precious as prophet, a priest, and king. Lord, do bless the means of grace amongst us. Help fathers and mothers in the midst of the family circle concerning the instruction of their dear children and the truths of Thy holy word. Oh, do bless the labors in the church on the Lord's day during the week. Do bless Thy holy word in our Christian school when it daily may be opened with a calling upon Thy name. Wilt Thou remember and bless all those that labor therein and therewith. So we commend unto Thee Thy church all over the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, all mission work, and do also remember the beloved for the Father's sake. Lord, remember all the afflicted. Then we commend by renewal unto Thee a mother who was scheduled for heart surgery in the day of tomorrow. Then we humbly ask Thee that Thou may guide the hand of the physician, her life may be spared, that the means may be blessed. But, O Lord, above all, that this solemn calling may be used by thy Spirit, that she may become exercised with the evil of our heart, cannot appear before thee with our natural heart, but we need thy grace. Remember her together with her dear husband, who was also being in the hospital where thou wast made it well. We remember the old father who was admitted to the hospital. He has become old. We humbly ask thee, may the means be blessed and above all sanctified for the saving of souls. Lord, we commend all the sick and all the afflicted unto thee, among young and old. There are many amongst us. The concerns are serious, and so we commend them all unto thee, so far that it may please thee. May the means be blessed, and above all the serious callings, may they be sanctified for the saving and the profit of never dying souls. We commend unto thee the handicapped ones, the crosses and the burdens, those that struggle with weakness of mind, our Lord. Do remember them in a special way. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, many amongst us, large empty places. Oh, do uphold them in their bitter sorrow. May they lay it all before thee, and may out of that mourning a sanctified mourning may be born for the coming of thy kingdom. We remember all the elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, the residents, and those that may care for them. We commend unto thee the nations at war, where there is so much mourning, so much destruction, and so much suffering. May it be used that many may be born again. Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy help in this hour. Open thy word. Open our lips. May the precious be separated from the vile. May it please thee to grant the application. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 159, the four stanzas. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou will hear my cry. And what follows? Psalter 159, the four stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then by renewal, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 1 Peter 2, the verses 4 and 5. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Our text words speak of the spiritual stones of the temple of Jesus Christ, with four thoughts. First, the foundation for these spiritual stones. Secondly, the exercises of these spiritual stones. Thirdly, the placement of these spiritual stones. And in the fourth place, the thanksgiving of these spiritual stones. Beloved congregation, we have heard of the chief cornerstone, chosen by the Father, given in the time he is risen and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And then our text words, they speak of the temple, of the spiritual temple, of which the foundation is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And to that end, Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, that he determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And concerning the exercises, John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then we read concerning that knowledge that Christ has spoken to his disciples before he suffered in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in me, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit, as we read in many places, especially in John 16, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to gather his church, to instruct his church, and to make room for that chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, and also to strengthen their most holy faith by word and by sacrament. And now concerning the sacrament of the Holy Supper, then it is clear that it is necessary that by the Spirit that we receive a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God in his necessity, in his suitability, and in his preciousness, because Christ has given the royal command, do this in remembrance of me. And now our text words speak of that spiritual temple, the cornerstone, and that spiritual temple that is built of many stones, smaller stones, larger stones, a young and old. And then in the day of Solomon, then Solomon, then he has sent for those hewers that out of the mountains of Lebanon, that the stones may be loosened, but that they may also be shaped, that they may receive a place upon that cornerstone and jointly put together to form that spiritual temple and congregation, that spiritual temple that is not finished yet. There are those stones that must and shall be hewn out and brought, joined by true saving faith, by the work of the Spirit, to that spiritual temple. And then we have heard it, then in the context of that spiritual temple, because the Lord has a people upon the earth. When the Lord begins that good work, and oh, then we are not part of that spiritual temple, oh, that distance on account of our sin. But then the Lord sheds that love abroad in the heart, and then he grants faith in the Word of God, and he also grants hope. And then in this chapter, because young and old, there must be a beginning. It does not begin with that chief cornerstone that is so hidden from the soul. There needs to be a beginning in our life. And when that takes place, that is such a mysterious, and that is such an astonishing, but that is also such a sweet work. And then we become as a newborn babe, desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Then our heart goes out after God and everything connected therewith, after His Word, His law, His institutions, His house, His day. And then we are filled with that holy jealousy for the people of God. Then we are given to leave that city of destruction, and then that godly sorrow shall be experienced that leadeth to repentance. And then concerning then Peter, he has explained it so beautiful. And if so be, young and old, has there now been a beginning? Because there needs to be that beginning. Christ has said unto Nicodemus, except ye be born again, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And now when that takes place, and the Lord has a people that knows that it is so, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And that is not a strange matter to those souls, on account, because we read in Galatians 5 verse 6, that faith worketh by love. Oh, then they experience that the Lord is gracious at the throne of grace, granting that opening at the throne of grace, the answering of prayer. Then they are given to experience that the Lord is gracious with the opening of His Word. Ah, then that people, they are given to experience that the Lord is gracious in His house, where He has promised in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst of them. Ah, then those roofs, when they may glean on the fields of the greater Boaz, and they may pick up those arms that is such a sweet work, and they may return homeward with many ears. Oh, it is true, they learn more and more needs to be threshed out, but they learn that the Lord is gracious. Ah, that they learn that the Lord is gracious, when they may sit at his feet as a Mary of old, and be instructed in the things of the Lord. They are given to taste that the Lord is gracious, for a people at times that cannot explain their hearts, that it may be explained in his house, because that people have many riddles, and they have many perplexities. Ah, they are given to experience that the Lord is gracious when the Lord speaks a special word to their soul according to their several needs. Then they may be given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. They are given to experience that the Lord is gracious when there are those times because they write bitter things against themselves. About those times when God's word may include them. Ah, then they learn that the Lord is gracious because they have gathered many goodly pearls wherein they are given to rejoice. But now it is necessary, and that is stressed in our text words, that by true saving faith by the work of the Spirit, that we need to be placed on that cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is now the work of the Spirit. Because if we ask those souls concerning all their goodly pearls, and they have gathered many, and let us not despise the day of small things. But if we now ask soul, with those goodly pearls, can you satisfy the justice of God? And then they come in the need. And that is so necessary. And that is the work of the Spirit. Can be so much resting, it's true. The Lord grants those souls as Elims. But so much resting outside of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end, our text words speak of the placement of these spiritual stones. We have heard it. Boys and girls, you can picture it. Solomon as a type of the greater Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, has sent his hewers, his workmen, to the mountains of Lebanon with the order to hew out stones according to a perfect plan, a certain shape, a great distance from Jerusalem, and they must be brought to that holy city. And then we can picture those hewers. It was strenuous work. And they have hewn out those stones. So the greater Solomon, he also sends out those spiritual hewers. They are given to preach law and gospel with the promise of the greater Solomon. Ah, those hewers. They cannot gather one stone. If they could, they would gather all congregation. But that is not the work of the hewers. That is the work of the Spirit. Zechariah 4 verse 6. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And now you can picture it, boys and girls. The workmen with their picks and with their instruments. Then to loosen those stones out of the mountain. can, of course, happen with an earthquake, that a mountain trembles, and that those stones tremble too. But they remain part of the mountain. There's now a wonder of grace. Thus then it is necessary that those stones, that they are loosened, that they are separated from the mountain, that there is a severance. And with that separation, they are not yet in Jerusalem, and the Lord is free and sovereign. But we can understand there is a difference, and the Lord has a people that learns that it is so. Thus that loosening that speaks a cutting off work of our sins. Then there comes a separation between us and the world, and also speak of the mountains of self-righteousness. It's both a great work wherever the Lord finds us. And when the Lord works, of course, a blessing. When the Lord may keep us from breaking out into sin, but when the Spirit uncovers our sins in the light of that majestic, holy, and good-doing God, that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. We have mentioned Samuel Davis. Oh, his labors were richly blessed in the time of the Great Awakening, that he is stated in a certain place before we may have a good hope of the work of the Lord begun. Then it shall be evident in practical repentance and reformation. Thus a loosening from that mountain. But with that loosening from that mountain, then much needed to take place with those stones. Of course, need to be cleansed, need to be shaped. So it's a proper stone that may have a place upon that cornerstone part of that spiritual temple. And now the Lord has a people that knows what it is. Oh, they can think so soon that they are a ready stone to be placed upon that cornerstone. And what a work that the Holy Spirit has. Much more work than those hewers of Solomon had with that stone, the proper shape that it may receive a place in that spiritual temple. Thus then we speak in the first place of a cutting off of our sins. We experience the exceeding sinfulness of sin. But now further, there needs to be a cutting off of our works. Ah, for those stones. What a labor needs to be bestowed upon them. What an uncovering, that they may receive a place upon that cornerstone. Oh, in the first place, concerning their works, because when the Lord begins, and we experience how bitter sin is, then we shall try to satisfy justice. But now a deeper uncovery. Dig deeper, Son of Man. We read in Ezekiel 8. And thou shalt find greater abomination, speciality of the holy law of God, and that our works need to be perfect. What a self-righteousness. What a pride. What imaginations. They all need to be taken off that stone. Trusting in our own wisdom. Trusting in our strength. Trusting in our experience. What a labor that the Spirit has with those stones. Thus, what a work that those workmen had. Oh, many a corner. Oh, what a begging there can be of those stones. And how were those stones further formed? We have heard it out of 1 Peter. A needs be. Oftentimes those stones, they are taught in the way of affliction, where they learn matters which are not learned elsewhere. We have heard it out of verse 7, that they are placed in the furnace, as gold is tried by fire, that many impurities, many wrong thoughts, that they may be put aside. And for those stones, because it was a long distance from the mountains of Lebanon to Jerusalem. Oh, what riddles and what questions there can be for those stones. And in the life, true work of grace, oh, the devil, as the great enemy of the Son of God, then how angry he becomes when those stones are being brought closer and closer to Jerusalem, that it may be hindered, that they may never receive a place on that chief cornerstone, because the devil knows that in the multitude of followers is the King's glory. And then concerning those stones, the nominal Christendom, they are so quickly ready and shaped and formed, and even think they have a right. But now those true stones, they are given to examine themselves oftentimes according to God's word, whether they are really a living stone. And that's a mark of the grace of God, a heart of flesh. They have much trouble with the heart of stone. Bitter lamentations. But what a questions. Are there souls that have those questions? Concerning being joined to the chief cornerstone. All for those stones. Precious invitations. even when they are in the stones of Lebanon, sometime a secret place, all alone with the Lord. Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and none else. Let us also mention Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. It is the work of the Spirit not to grant that true rest before they come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. But those stones, in the beginning, they soon hoped to be a fitting stone for that spiritual temple, and that the greater Solomon would be given to rejoice. But what are now some of those questions of those spiritual stones? The one time, and the Lord is free, shall all learn the truth of the matter. Difference in the depth. Have I now learned my sins deep enough? And then soon after, when they are given to look at the stone, have I not sinned too much? Is it possible for such a sinful stone to receive a place in that spiritual temple? Another time. Am I now humble enough to receive a place from Solomon on that temple? Another time, unworthy enough. Concerning that journey, what a questions and what an assaults there can be. True people of God, what a trouble they can have with the devil also in a work of preparation. Concerning those spiritual stones, George Whitefield, preacher during the Great Awakening, he has preached to great multitudes, diverse multitudes, many times only preached once to a multitude, but then with such an urgency, with many tears, then he has exhorted young and old to flee from the city of destruction to the city of refuge, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he has impressed profoundly upon their minds and hearts how terrible it is to be under the wrath of God, but also the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he has also spoken sermons of separation, separating the precious from the vile. He has preached from Jeremiah 6, verse 14, where there were many prophets that healed the wound of the people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there was no peace. And then he has mentioned five special points concerning the Spirit's leading that he teaches his people. And then he has earnestly warned that we speak not peace unto our souls when we have not experienced those points. Then in the first place, then he has explained, when we have never wept profusely, when we have never mourned over our sins, when we have never become exercised with the greatness of our sins, The transgressions against the law of God, where it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the law of God. When we do not experience the thunderings of the law, then he did not speak of the depth, but he spoke of the matter itself. And then he has declared, when that has not taken place, speak not peace to your souls. But then he has went further, because those stones, they are not so quickly ready to be a fit object to place upon the cornerstone. Then in the second place, he has said, because it is the work of the Spirit, not only to grant exercises and uncovering concerning their actual sins, but when a soul is not exercised with their nature on account of their original sin, that they are uncovered deeper and deeper, that it is my existence, that I am nothing but a lump of loathsome sin, transgressing all the commandments of the Lord. Then he said, be careful not to speak peace to your souls, because the Spirit, he uncovers very deeply. And he has also stated concerning that matter, not only once, but in the life of the living child, because we read of living stones, exercise stones, and the church learns that it is all given good. Nevertheless, in the true work of the Lord, there shall be exercises all their life long, that we never come above our flesh, and that there shall be that lamenting and that grieving concerning the flesh. Because George Whitefield has stressed that it is not some convictions, some trembling for a time, as the devils also tremble, but it is a continual work by the work of the Holy Spirit. Then further, he has went a little further, that in the true work of the Lord, not only our actual sins, oh, blessed are they that mourn, the poor in spirit, that godly sorrow that worketh to repentance, not to be repented of, but then by the further uncovering of the Holy Spirit, that those stones with all their religious duties and with all their religious exercises cannot be missed. If we think of those stones, congregation, then those stones, they have been loosened from that mountain, but they are not in Jerusalem. Are there souls that understand it? Believed that you have been loosened. Can also be questions when the Lord uncovers deeper. How can it all be? But to be loosened from the mountain, but not a place in the temple, are there souls that understand it? Oh, how poor and needy they can become. To give an example, Ruth, Ah, she was loosed from mount, and she has made that choice so real, so sincerely, with all her heart. She has set her face Zionward. She has chosen for the Lord and for his service. And she was given to taste that the Lord was gracious, that the Lord has dealt so wonderfully with her. And she was given to glean. But she was not the bride of Boaz yet. And the Lord has a people that understands it. The necessity of the further leadings. And now to be uncovered deeper. That are best works. Our religious duties. All polluted with sin. And also those sins. One of those sins. Our prayers. Our Bible reading. The justice demands perfection. And even one sin in our religious duties. That makes us worthy of hell. And the church learns that it is all polluted with sin. Isaiah 64 verse 6. That her righteousness is, they are as filthy rags. They cannot exist. They cannot stand before the justice of God. But then George Whitefield still goes farther. He says, with those three matters, speak not peace to your soul. Because there were those false prophets in the time of Jeremiah. When there were some people that were a little troubled and trembled a little bit, then the false prophets have said, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Then George Whitefield was given to speak of the fourth point. And that it is the Spirit's work to convict the sinner of the great, the chief sin of unbelief. Because we read in John 16 of the Comforter, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then in verse 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. Thus to be uncovered that the greatest sin is that sin of unbelief. And combined with the enmity of the heart. Oh, when the Spirit shows his people. Oh, when we think of the Jews. And the one is led deeper than the other. But Romans 4, who were justified? Ungodly ones. And Romans 5, enemies reconciled, that the Spirit shows our existence. Carnal mind is enmity against God. Oh, when we think of the Jewish people, when they have cried out with the top of their voice, crucify him, crucify him, that Jew and Gentile has laid their filthy hands on the beloved Son of God. Oh, when the Spirit uncovers and shows it, that is our existence with all our attempts. When we have been loosened, oh, it is by grace. When we are loosened from the mountain, when there is a cutting off of sin, a cutting off of our works, but now we have to lose our life. And that is an enemy, oh, the great sin of unbelief, that with all our efforts, that we have counted the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ unclean, that we have tried to make ourselves acceptable by our works, by our not doing, and by our doing. But now George Whitefield has said, oh, in the work of the Lord, then he uncovers his people to the great sin of unbelief. Ah, the Lord brings those stones to a place of a holy impossibility. All their efforts, sinners still. Oh, George Whitefield has also spoken in that sermon that the sinner is given to bow under the justice of God, that the Lord is righteous, that the Lord is just. But now for that people to come to that place of holy impossibility, and what else? A holy necessity to be reconciled, to be cleansed. And yet Whitefield has said, oh, be careful not to speak peace to your souls, because what needs to take place? Then the fifth point. Oh, a revelation of the Son of God, and that we may receive, understand that it is an imputed righteousness, and that a poor sinner, that he is given the arms of faith to embrace it, that he is given to behold him. In our text, he is called that precious cornerstone. And the psalmist in Psalm 45, verse 2, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out upon his lips. Ah, then they are given to behold him. The bride has exclaimed that he is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s, when the soul is given to see, ah, when we lose all of self, the cutting off of our life, to learn to lose our life, that the Lord is righteous and just. But how is it now possible, concerning all the filth and all the sins of those stones? Does then the Lord bypass his justice? No. Ah, when the soul by a true saving faith, when they may be instructed, and when they may be shown, when the gospel may be opened as it is in Jesus Christ, ah, then they are given to see that precious cornerstone, and that it has pleased the Father to take all the filth and all the sins of those stones, of all his people, and that he has laid their filth, their sins, all their unbelief and their enmity, that it has all been laid on the dear Son of God, that he has suffered, that he has died, but that he was risen again, that he sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and from thence he poureth out those heavenly graces, and from thence he instructs his children, that they may be cut off of everything that is self, or that the church may learn that it is grace, that it is all of grace, that it is grace alone. Ah, those stones, they learn that if anything had to be added from their side, they would perish eternally. And now concerning that precious cornerstone, ah, for a people that have come to that saving knowledge, and then it is, we are not speaking of a strong or a weak faith, but it is a faith in the Son of God, what he has done to save his people, that he has loved himself to death, that he has offered himself as a sacrifice. Ah, that those stones shall not eternally perish. Of course, from the Lord's side, it cannot be, because the Lord does a perfect work when he loosens those stones. It is for the purpose to bring them upon that cornerstone, that they may receive a place in that spiritual temple. But oh, concerning those stones, think in this epistle in 1 Peter 4 verse 18, that if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly remain? But from the Lord's side, then it lieth so sure. And now concerning that precious cornerstone, ought to reveal the riches of that cornerstone. Then Christ has instituted the Lord's Supper, that his people may do it in remembrance of him, that they may be given to behold also dependent upon the Spirit what it has cost them to become the cornerstone. Let us first sing. Psalter 82, 1 and 2. Defend me, Lord, from shame, for still I trust in thee, since just and righteous is thy name, and what follows. 82, 1 and 2. disallowed indeed of men. There we have a congregation. The enmity, John 1 verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But now further, the thanksgiving of these spiritual stones. Ye also, as lively stones. What an examination, people of God. Do you hear it? Lively stones. They are exercise stones. They are examining stones. They are at the throne of grace. Does not form on duty. It is true, it is the royal command of the king. But lively stones. And it's also a narrow way. Not to bring something along to please the king. But on the other hand, not to be a dead stone. George Whitefield, he is also earnestly warned, resting upon former experiences. And he has stated in his own life that he has paid dearly for his backsliding. Oh, what a blessing it is when there may be lively stones. The church learns that it is a gift from above. But the Lord will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Oh, when there may be those exercises, there may be a soft heart. Psalm 50, verse 17. Contrite and a broken heart the Lord will not despise. And to learn more and more. Nothing in us, all in him. So man travels to Jerusalem. And with another poet, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross of Christ I cling. But lively stones, they are praying stones, hungry and thirsty stones. Oh, what a blessing it is when those stones may become lively as those travelers to Emmaus. When he has opened the scriptures, then their hearts start to burn concerning the precious Jesus, concerning their Lord. Ye also, as lively stones, given to examine our state, but also our condition. And then further, and then we shall close. Ye also, blessing when we may be included in it. Reverend Brackel, oh, he has stated, Lord is free. But as a general rule, when there may be urgent preparation, lively exercises, then it is the general way that the Lord grants a special blessing. Ye also, as lively stones. Ah, the true church. Oftentimes, so often, they need to confess that they are not lively, or not as lively as they ought to be. What a coldness, what a lukewarmness, what a deadness. And then what a blessing it is when that church may be given to cry and to sigh using the means of grace and learn that they need to be continually administered out of that precious mediator in his threefold office as prophet, king, and priest, always king by his power, to make that heart lively by renewal. And all in his priestly office, take away all that deadness, forgive it. And prophetical office to receive new and fresh discoveries of the wonderful works of the Lord. Work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the gratitude. Because there is added an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Those spiritual and living sacrifices we read in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Acceptable through Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ. Romans 11, verse 36, of him, through him, and to him be all things, to him glory forever. What an examination, people of God. I read in Psalm 48, verse 9, that the psalmist has declared, oh, it was lively. We will remember thy loving kindness in the midst of thy temple. And then at the end of this psalm, this God is our God forever and ever. He will guide us even unto death. Stones placed upon the chief cornerstone. And Christ has said, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we may thank thee that thou wast given that we could come together. Yet given a few words to speak, wilt thou grant the application. May each and every one be given to examine themselves, our Lord. When that wonder has never taken place, I'll work it before it is forever too late. When stones have been loosened, that they are not too quick to proclaim peace unto themselves without a saving knowledge of the Son of God. And Lord, now we have heard of lively stones, all granted in a week of preparation. Grant that spiritual thirst, that spiritual hunger. Bring us now safely to our homes. Watch over us in the furtherance of this week. Remember the mother who was scheduled for surgery. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 304. Let us sing 1, 2, and 3. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring. With all this people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. And what follows? 304, only the first three stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.